The recordings have started. You may now proceed.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the GNSO Council meeting on the 20th of April 2017. Would you please acknowledge your name when I call it for voting purposes later on? Thank you ever so much. James Bladel?
Here.
Donna Austin?
Here.
Rubens Kuhl?
Here.
Thank you. We have received an apology from Keith Dravick, and he has given his proxy to Rubens Kuhl. Darcy Southwell?
Here.
Michaela Nalem?
Here.
We received apologies from Valerie Tan. Her proxy has been given to Donna Austin. And we also have Phil Cohen as an apology. The proxy is given to Susan Kawaguchi. So, Susan Kawaguchi?
Here.
Paul McGrady?
Here.
Wolfgang Schnurden? I don't see him in the reconnect room. I'll come back to him afterwards. Rafik Damak? So Rafik had sent his apology in prior to the call with a proxy to Stefanie Perrin, but I have seen him appear in and out of the Adobe Connect room. Rafik Damak, can you hear me? All right, we'll now to turn to Stefanie Perrin for voting purposes. Stefanie Perrin.
I'm here.
Thank you. Stefanie Milan?
Here. Thank you.
Thank you. Heather Forrest?
Here, Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony Harris?
Here. Present.
Thank you. Edward Morris has sent his apology and he's given his proxy to Marilia Maciel. So, Marilia Maciel?
Present.
Thank you. Martin Silva-Valent?
Present.
Thank you. Johan Helsingius?
Here.
Cheryl Angano?
Here.
Carlos Raul Gutierrez has sent in his apologies for today. Ben Fuller?
Here.
Erica Mann? I believe we're dialing out to Erica. We'll see if we can get hold of her after the roll call. So just to summarize the apologies and proxies for voting purposes, Keith Drazik's proxy is Rubens Kuhl. Valerie Tan's proxy is Donna Austin. Phil Cohen's proxy is Susan Kawaguchi. Rafik Damak's proxy, in case of connectivity issues, is Stefanie Perrin. And Ed Morris's proxy is Marilia Maciel. So from staff today, we have David Olive, Mary Wong, Marika Koenigs, Julie Headland, Steve Chan, Amir Sadir, Emily Barabas, Barry Cobb, Terry Agnew, Josh Bausch and Sarah Kaplitz for technical support, and myself, Natalie Perrigan. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for sensitive purposes. Thank you ever so much, James, and over to you.
Hello, just a quick one. This is Yulf. I think Erica also sent a proxy in case she couldn't be here in my name.
Thanks, Yulf. That's noted. And thanks, Natalie, for taking care of that. And just to confirm, Natalie, despite all of these absences, we still have quorum in both the contracted and non-contracted party houses, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you for the record. Okay, excellent. Okay, welcome, everyone, to the council call for the 20th of April, 2017. As per usual, does anyone have any updates to their statements of interest or any other items of note that would affect their status as a counselor? Please raise your hand.
Hi, okay, James. Seeing none. Susan, I am having trouble getting into Adobe, so I'm raising my hand virtually, or on the phone, I guess, not virtually.
Understand, Susan. floor is yours. Go ahead.
Change to SOI, which I've updated on the ICANN website. I'm no longer with Facebook, which some of you have told that was going to happen, and I am acting as a consultant in domain name management services.
Thank you. And we will follow up with that SOI, but no change in status as your in your capacity as representing the BC on the council, correct?
Correct. I am a member of the BC as a in my consulting services, and they agreed that I would stay on as counselor.
Great. Okay. Thanks for clarifying, and we're all fortunate to have you continuing with us here. So, any other statements of interest, updates, or changes to status? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to item 1.3. The agenda was circulated earlier and also appears on the right-hand column for this for the Adobe Room for this particular meeting. Does anyone have any comments or suggested edits for the agenda? Okay, seeing none, then we'll dive in. As we noted, we have a number of absences, and I think just looking over the agenda list, we also have a number of issues that are going to go a little roughly today. So let's just charge ahead and we'll get through this together. First up is a review, a notice of the status of the minutes from our two previous meetings, one in the 16th of February and the other on the 15th of March. Those were posted to the list, and I believe we can consider those adopted. And then item two is we move into the review of the open projects and action item list, and I know we have a couple of points to discuss here, so let's let staff load up that that document. We'll take a quick look. Okay, first up is the open project list. And while we have a number of active PDPs and implementation review teams in progress, I just want to note that following up from our discussions in Copenhagen, the council chairs and staff are reaching out to the leadership of each of the active PDPs, and I believe also now the IRTs, to schedule some informal discussions with them on the progress of the PDPs. And I think this is primarily meant to check in with these groups in between each of the ICANN meetings to ensure that they are on track for their deliverables, that their work plan is still valid, that we are able to provide them with any necessary resources or address any challenges that they have in executing their work. And this is, the goal here is not to wait until each of the ICANN meetings in particular, since we have pared down the PDP update section of our weekend agendas at each of these meetings and, in fact, eliminated it entirely for the policy forum. So that is ongoing, and staff is working to schedule those, and I believe we have a full slate of those discussions beginning next week. So that's just something we want to brief the council on, and we'll certainly follow up if there are any action items resulting from those conversations. Aside from that, we're looking at the remaining PDPs that are active. We have some of the IRTs, and I believe in particular the one of which is and we'll get to that in the consent agenda as well, one of which is seeking a council liaison, which is the translation transliteration IRT. And then we also have a number of items relative to the formation of the Standing Selection Committee and the standing up of the the ongoing work associated with the CCT. Does anyone have any questions or comments relative to our open project list?
Thanks, James. Paul McGrady for the record. So I think it sort of goes back to the meeting with the leadership of the PDPs. I think it's important that we convey to them that nobody's in trouble and that we don't think anything's off the rails or anything like that, that we're just, you know, as council trying to make sure that we, you know, look and remain interested in these moving forward, but that it, that these calls are not remedial in nature. They're just you know, trying to find a way to stay connected with the PDPs in between the meetings, especially with the policy meeting causing a big gap. So I think that's what these are meant to do, but I would hate to, you know, send the wrong message to the co-chairs of these PDPs who, you know, are volunteering an enormous amount of time. And so I guess all I'm saying is hopefully those calls are kind of gentle. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Yeah, you're exactly right. The intention here is to check in because I think that the calendar doesn't really facilitate those regular checkups anymore. We have also had some turnover, I think, in the slate of liaisons of counselors that are involved in these PDPs. And so the goal here is to check in, be constructive and collaborative, and make sure that they have everything they need as far as the conduct of their work, and not let that go too many months down the road without, you know, without touching base. So exactly where we were headed with this, and we will make sure we reinforce your message in those conversations. So thank you for that. Any other, I know Rubens is asking a question in the chat. Relative to, is there a reason IGO, INGO appearing both in board vote and implementation? A good question, Rubens. I see Marika is typing, so we'll give her just a second to open that. But any other questions or comments relative to the active PDPs? Okay, and I see Rubens' question was addressed by Marika. Thank you. Okay, then let's move on then to the action item list. And I think we have a couple of items of note here as well, and I'm just going to skim through it fairly quickly here. Liaisons to the SOs, ACs, PDPs, IRTs, and working groups, that is, I believe, agenda item number three. The fiscal year 18 operating plan, we have a comment pending on our agenda, which I believe is agenda item number, what is that, number six. We have the charter for the cross-community working group, which is also an agenda item on our discussion, a discussion item on our agenda for the meeting today. We've completed the process to address the procedure for resolving conflicts between who is and national law, and hopefully folks saw that there was an announcement from ICANN GDD staff on that this week. We have, just scrolling down here, the response to the GAC communique. That is some sore spot on today's agenda, and we'll get to that here in just a moment, because we do not have a draft for review on that, and we have an open amendment on our agenda. We have created the SSC, and we have a motion with a slate of candidates for the next review team, which is RDS, and that's on our agenda a little bit later. And then I wanted to point out as well, I'm just scrolling here, we have some follow-up work with the Red Cross protections for the Red Cross, Red Crescent names. We also have and it's not on this list, but we should probably capture that the Customer Standing Committee has also met recently, I believe yesterday, or perhaps it will be meeting here, I think, in the next couple of days. And I've asked James Gannon to prepare a report as the GNSO liaison to that Customer Standing Committee, and then we will certainly circulate that to Council for your review. Any other comments, questions, or in particular, if you see anything missing from this action item list? Marika is telling me I skipped one here. Just a moment. Let me scroll back up to the Who Is letter. Marika, can you point to me? I'm not seeing it here. The letter from SICK Who Is IRT on privacy issues. Is this a discussion item as well? This is where our meeting in Copenhagen kind of went off the road, if I recall.
Yeah, this is Marika. I believe the action item from Copenhagen was that Erica and Keith, I believe, both volunteered to look at the latest version and come back with potential revised draft. But as nothing was received, I don't believe that was included in the agenda. So it's still here as an open action item. So at some point, you'll need to consider whether that is still forthcoming or whether it has been overtaken by events or it's been no longer necessary and it can be removed.
Okay, thank you for refreshing my memory. And I note that I have not seen anything from Erica or Keith on this point, and both of them are absent from today's call, so there's nothing on our agenda. I guess my message to counselors would be to stay tuned on this particular issue for further developments. I think that, clearly we can't afford to stand still on this one for too long, but I think that there are some work perhaps that we could report on at our next meeting. Okay, anything else? Anyone spot anything, any items you'd like to add to our action item list? Okay, so then let's move on to our consent agenda item, which is agenda item number 3. Primarily, we have noted in our discussions in Copenhagen that we had a number of vacancies in terms of council liaisons to PDPs and IRTs. We had a few folks volunteer, but I think we still have some gaps that we need to fill. So, Marika, I don't know if you're in a position where you can run us through who volunteered for what fairly quickly here and make sure that we reconfirm that those folks are still on board and willing to serve as liaison to those groups. Just looking here that let's see, that who is Thick Who Is IRT is Susan. GNSO Rights and Obligations for the Bylaws is Ed, who's not here. The CCWG on Internet Governance is Yulf, and there is an open spot relative to translation and transliteration. Any others, Marika, or is that the list?
This is Marika. I believe that is the list.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I guess Ed is probably not here in a position to reconfirm that he's still interested, but I think we can confirm with Susan and Yulf that they're still willing to serve as liaisons.
Sure.
Correct. Thank you, Yulf. Susan, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Yes, I will continue as the Thick Who Is IRT. But if there's no one else for the translation and transliteration, I'll do that one also. Unless, somebody wants to trade Thick Who Is or something. But it's all registration data, so it is easy for me to follow.
Thanks, Susan. I just see in the chat here that Rubens is volunteering for translation transliteration, and he also has his hand
perfect.
Raised.
I didn't
so
see that.
If
sorry.
You
Rubens
want to stay
would
where
be
you're
much
at,
better than I.
Was.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Rubens, thank you very much for volunteering there. We'll put your name down for the translation transliteration IRT. So then our slate of liaisons is Susan for Thick Who Is, Rubens for translation transliteration, Ed, who is not here, for GNSO revised bylaws, and Yulf for CCWGIG. Anyone else like to comment on the consent agenda item and the slate of liaisons, or can we move to adopt our consent agenda item? Okay, the queue is clear. So, Natalie, if you don't mind, can we just go with a voice vote by acclamation here on agenda item number 3.
Of course. Would anyone like to abstain from this motion? Please say your name. Hearing no one, would anyone like to vote against this motion? Hearing no one, would all those in favor of the motion please say aye.
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 Thank you. Donna Austin, proxy for Valerie Tan, please say aye.
Aye.
Stephen Kawaguchi for Phil Corwin, please say aye.
Aye.
William Maciel for Ed Morris, please say aye.
Hi.
Stephanie Perrin for Rafik Damak, please say aye.
Aye.
And Ruben Skuhl, proxy for Keith Blazik, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. No abstention, no objection. James, the version passes. Thank you.
And I also say aye for Erica.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, and thank you to our new slate of liaisons, and we appreciate your volunteering for to coordinate with these groups. Next up is a trouble spot in our agenda, which is the approval of the council review of the GATT communique from Copenhagen, and I say that this is a trouble because while I think we have a draft of a response, we don't have a what I would consider a final draft. So I don't know that this is something that we can vote on today because I don't know that we've had a chance to review the comment itself. I note that the motion was raised by Stephanie and was seconded by McKelly, so I would certainly ask either of them or any of the folks who were part of the group that was putting that together if they have any if they have any thoughts or if they have any comments or questions. Otherwise, I think I have a couple of ideas as far as brainstorming on what we can do to move forward on this, noting that our liaison to the GAC is currently unable to attend this particular call, and that we also note that the board and the GAC are scheduled to meet, I believe it is a week from today on the 27th. So, we're kind of between a rock and a hard place here, but I'm open to ideas on where we can go forward. I don't know if Stephanie or Michele or if you'd like to weigh in on this. Paul, go ahead.
So I see the text of the motion, but there's also can we see the text of the substance of the motion? Can that be put into the space as well? Because I think that there's I don't really know how much of it is going to be controversial. We may be able to work this out on the call. I just don't know how much time you want to allot to it.
Thanks, Paul. Sure. We could certainly ask staff if they have the latest draft of the comments. I think there was one open question. Most of the comment, and I'm probably not going to do it justice, most of the comment referred back to previous comments. However, there was, I believe, one new element, which was regarding the GAC's advice to consult individually, that the board consult with individual GAC members on two-letter codes. So we'll get that loaded, and while that's happening, Stephanie would like to weigh in. So, Stephanie, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I just wanted to say I'm a little uncomfortable with Phil not being here because I know he had some comments on the section on the NGOs, INGOs, and I don't know whether he's happy with the final draft. I mean, I must admit we kind of let this go into the Easter holidays without making sure we had what everybody was happy with. So I personally couldn't put up my hand and say this is ready to go. If we could beg for more time, I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. And just to Paul's question, I'm kind of got a little bit of a side channel going with Mary and Marika. We're trying to find the most appropriate draft text that we can post here. But Paul, I see you want to get back in the queue. Go ahead.
Thanks, James. Paul McGrady again. I have no problem with trying to work this thing out on the list instead of on this call over the next couple of days. I was not aware that there may be something in here that Phil is not 100% comfortable with yet, and given the circumstances of Phil's family this week, I don't want to rush something through with him unable to comment. If we can get it done, within a couple of days in advance of the next call, so I guess I'm just raising my hand to say I'm happy for this to go. However, everybody else wants it to go, either to try to get it through today or to do it on the list. But I do want to be sensitive to the to Phil's issue because he can't be here. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. That's a good point. And one of the items that we're also kind of kicking around is the idea that we would potentially move this to the list, but also have an email ballot. And I don't know if our bylaws allow us the time to do that, but it would give us perhaps an expedited way of reviewing and approving the response before our next meeting in May. McKelly, go ahead.
Thanks, McKelly, for the record. I suppose the one problem we have here is one around is the timing. As Heather points out on the chat, if we don't get this done by the 27th of April, it will come after the board meeting, and we really need to get this to the board before then. I'm not familiar with the inner workings and machinery around how we can have a vote via email, but I'd be happy to do so if that's the best path forward. And just echoing what Paul said, if Phil needs to weigh in on this, giving him the opportunity to do so would be preferable.
Thanks, McKelly. And just noting that we're also kind of chatting about this potential path forward as a potential. It still doesn't get us to the 27th, but it might get us there a little bit faster. Another option would be to, and again, I'm just continuing to brainstorm some paths forward here, is that we could notify our GNSO members of the board, Becky and Marcus. We could prepare the document, we could brief them, and then adopt it at our earliest opportunity and just essentially call it a pending comment. At least that way they would have something to take to that conversation between the board and the GAC on behalf of the GNSO, and we wouldn't be completely empty-handed on the 27th. Donna, go ahead.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. I think to the extent that we can get the most up-to-date draft on the list as soon as possible so that we can start discussion, I think that's really important as a first step. We need to do that. So it would be useful to understand what the status of the current draft is and when we're likely to have that circulated to the list. And in order for us to be able to even provide this to Marcus and Becky as even a pending document, we need to have some kind of evidence that people are supporting this on the list, even though we haven't voted on it. So I think it's really important that we get this to the list as quickly as possible, and that there is a conversation on the list that supports, at least in principle, what the current document or the current text that's in the text that is in the response to the communique. So I think that's really important. Yes, an email vote might be the way to go, but if we don't get the draft to the list as soon as possible so that we can start the discussion, I think we're going to be close to not being able to meet a 7-day vote period. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Okay, I see Susan, and then I think we can kind of start to stitch this together into an approach. Susan, go ahead.
Hi. Unfortunately, Phil and I had not discussed the language of the document concerning the IGO and INGO. So I can't weigh in on that right now for him. But, you know, when I read the draft, it seemed okay to me. But I am not in depth in that matter. So I would like the opportunity to wait for Phil's input. What I could do is hopefully get I'm not sure I can get a hold of Phil since I think today or tomorrow is his mother's funeral, but I think Steve Del Bianco I could work with him and get something to the list in the next 24 hours.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Let me just see if I can put all of this on a single page. It sounds like we're not going to be able to proceed on this today on our call, and that's not entirely unexpected. The approach I think that we're circling around here is that we would get the latest comments, which seem to be mostly referencing previous comments, except for a couple of new items. We would get those to the list as soon as possible. That all counselors would need to review that as quickly as possible, and Susan would need to confer with BC leadership on that position to ensure that we've captured or at least addressed the BC and Phil's comments. And then we would inform our GNSO folks, or let's say the board members who were nominated by the GNSO, Becky and Marcus, that we have a draft, presuming that was then circulated to the council and that no one had any objections. We would then give them a copy of this, provide them with some indication that this was perhaps going to be relevant and useful for their discussions with the board on the 27th, and then we would move to an email vote concurrent with that, with the goal of approving that document as quickly as possible. Does that sound like I've captured Paul, Donna, and Susan's notes there? Paul, go ahead.
So thank you, Paul McGrady, for the record. So I think that, I guess what I was trying to figure out is whether or not this is something, I know we take a formal vote on this, which then hamstrings us on notice and that kind of thing, but yet for other things, which I think are just as weighty, we tend to send letters for which we don't take a vote. We just sort of reach consensus either on a call or on the list. And so if Stephanie withdraws the motion and we agree to handle this by letter instead of by motion, then we don't really have the notice periods to worry about, which means in theory we could have a letter ready for the board finalized in advance of their meeting with the GAC, which I think would be more useful than here's a draft motion which may or may not pass. Maybe there's some stuff to work out in relationship to the Red Cross, IGO, NGO stuff, probably most of it not about content, more about tone, I suspect, at the end of the day. But I don't really see anything on the list back and forth when this draft was being built that looked like anybody was really digging in their heels. So I think a letter might be possible. And I wonder whether or not a letter format for the future to avoid all the difficulties around voting might be our usual approach to this in the future, too. So I'll be quiet. Thanks.
No, thanks, Paul. It's a good idea. And maybe we can do both. Send a letter now and then adopt the letter via formal vote just to kind of keep with the process. Donna, you wanted to weigh in? Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, James. Donna Austin. I think I have some concerns in principle with sending a letter before the council actually formally votes on something, but perhaps we could do it in the context that previously when drafting a response to the GAC communique, the council has done so without a time frame. And what I mean by that is we're trying to push something through now in order to meet the GAC board discussion about the communique. So we want to make the information timely. So maybe that's how we get around it this time. But certainly in the future, I think we really, and we have discussed this, I think, in Copenhagen, if not before that, but we really need to make sure that the response to the communique is timely. And I don't think we've managed to achieve that objective this time around. So maybe we just need to be super conscious of that moving forward. I don't think previously we've necessarily had a hard timeline to work to. And I guess in our defence, we didn't know when the GAC board discussion would happen. So maybe that's the hook that gets us out on this occasion. But I do think that it's probably something that we do need a vote on. One of the other challenges that I potentially have from a registry stakeholder perspective is that there are a number of our members that do like to have an opportunity to review the response to the communique before we sign off on it. So that may cause a little bit of heartache within the stakeholder group if we move ahead with something when they don't feel that they've had enough time to consider it. So just raising that as a potential issue as well. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Donna, and particularly note your point about some stakeholder groups and constituencies want to see the response before they can instruct their counselors on what to do, and so that's another factor in the timing here. Going back one speaker to Paul, I think that we can probably do both. We can proceed with a letter that contains the substance of our comment, and then follow up with either an email vote on a formal response that conforms to our previous submissions, either in an email vote, or we could at that point, we're probably out of the time sensitive phase of the response, so we can move it to our main meeting. But I think in all cases, we're probably not addressing this on our agenda today, and we'll need to ask Stephanie, as the maker of the motion, and McKelly what their intentions are here, if they would like to withdraw, if they'd like to defer this to May. But I think that as far as what we need to do to prepare the response, we have an urgent project in front of us to get some language on the list, and I will go ahead and put my name down to work with staff to take the latest bits and bobs that were going around and kind of synthesize that into a single draft, and then we'll get that circulated onto the list as quickly as possible, and we'll proceed with kind of a non-objection consensus letter and then a formal vote on the response there. Next up, I have McKelly and Stephanie. McKelly?
Thanks, James. McKelly, for the record. I'm quite happy to go with whatever works. So if I need to withdraw my second, assuming Stephanie withdraws her the motion, I'm happy to do so. Just let me know.
Thanks, McKelly. I think Stephanie's next in queue, so she's probably going to answer us here. Go ahead, McKelly. I'm sorry, Stephanie, go ahead.
Yes, Stephanie Perrin, for the record, I do think it seems like the easiest option is to withdraw that motion and settle it, as Paul discussed, and you've already stepped forward to help. And as I say, I don't think there's much standing in the way, but I just wouldn't like to make a decision on that INDO without Phil being consulted. Thanks. So withdraw.
Okay. Thanks, Stephanie. Sounds like we have two withdrawals there, so appreciate that. I guess the next action item is look for a message on the list from me in the next, let's say, 24 to 36 hours, and then we will, you know, hit that with some sticks until it looks like something that we can all agree with, and then we'll make sure we transmit that not only to the board but also to Becky and Marcus to take to that meeting on the 27th. So thanks for what do we want to call it here? Thanks for innovating a little bit here and working around our processes so that we can get something valuable and timely to those conversations between the board and the GAC, and that we're not, I think, as Paul said, handcuffed by our own processes. So thanks, everyone. If there are no other comments on this, we can move to agenda item number 5. Which is the initiation of the GNSO process for amending approved GNSO policy recommendations relating to certain Red Cross movement names. And that was presented by me. I'm still looking for a second, but before anybody jumps up, just hang on, because we may have to do some surgery on this motion as well. I'll introduce this. I'm sorry. I believe we actually do need a second before we can discuss this. So, we've got McKelly is raising his hand. Rubens in the chat is seconding. So, McKelly, was that what you were?
Yeah, I was just going to second you, James. That's all.
Okay. So we have 2 seconds then. Great. A second and a third, however you want to call it. Okay. I'll read through the resolve clauses here, and then I will also just throw it open for discussion, noting that we have received some communication from the folks associated with the Red Cross that was circulated to our list as well that we can potentially include as part of our conversation of this motion. So the resolve clauses are, one, the GNSO Council hereby initiates the process described in Section 16 of the GNSO PDP Manual. Accordingly, the GNSO Council requests that the PDP Working Group be reconvened for the purpose of consultation by the GNSO Council on the following proposed amendment to Recommendation 5 in Section 3.1 of the PDP Working Group Final Report. Two, the full names of the 190 Red Cross national societies and the full names of the International Committee of the Red Cross and International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies are to be placed into Specification 5 of the base GTLD registry agreement, with an exception procedure to be created for cases where the relevant Red Cross, Red Crescent moving organization wishes to apply for the protected string at the second level. Three, in placing the specified identifiers into Spec 5 of the registry agreement, this should apply to an exact match of the full name of the relevant national society recognized by the International Red Cross and Red Crescent Movement in English and the official language of its state of origin. The full names of the International Committee of the Red Cross and International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies in the 6 official UN languages, and a defined limited set of variations of these names. And four, in considering the proposed amendment, account is to be duly taken of the matters noted during the GAC GNSO facilitated discussion at ICANN 58, as well as the GAC's public policy advice to reserve the finite list of names of the Red Cross and Red Crescent national societies as recognized within the International Red Cross and Red Crescent movements in all GTLDs. Five, in accordance with Section 16 of the PDP Manual, the GNSO Council directs ICANN staff to post the proposed amendment to the Recommendation 5 for public comment for a period of 30 days, commencing from the date of the first meeting of the reconvened PDP Working Group. Six, in accordance with Section 16 of the PDP Manual, the GNSO Council intends to put the proposed amendment to a vote following consultation with the PDP Working Group and the conclusion of the requisite public comment period. The GNSO Council notes the approval of the proposed amendment requires a supermajority vote of both houses in favor of the amendment. And seven, the Council thanks all those who participated in the talks at ICANN 58 in Copenhagen, in particular Bruce Tonkin, for moderating the discussion. So that's the motion as it stands today. I thought that and we'll open up a queue for discussion, but I thought that there was a little bit more in the result one clause. I thought there were some sub-points there. But anyway, happy to take a cue now to discuss this motion. I think this is a first. No one wants to discuss Red Cross, Red Crescent. And Paul, go ahead.
Paul McGrady for the record. I'll be brave and kick it off. A couple of, I guess, questions and clarifications on this. Question number one is, how long has this PDP been disbanded? Is it even something that can be rebanded? Are the same – I mean, I think it's been years, right? And so will we be sending this to the same people? Are they still around? I guess my second question is, where did this come from? I think it came from the board, but it's being presented by James. Procedurally, how did it get here? But also sort of a broader question of I think we need to at least put on the brakes a little bit and talk about whether or not whenever we bump into the GAC that we want the way out to be that we have to reopen what we're doing with a new set of directives as opposed to having the board reject things and start over from scratch. There's sort of that question. And then lastly, this sort of, we've already talked about this briefly, but I know that this is an issue that Phil Corwin feels passionate about, and he's not on the call, and I just don't want us to, you know, unless this is an emergency, that this be done today. I'd prefer to have Phil's thoughts on this, if we can get those. And so I guess a timing question, which is this an emergency? Does this have to be done today? Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Let me take a, because I see the queue is empty, let me take a stab at a couple of, I don't know if they're answers or responses, and then see if other counselors want to weigh in as well. So just a note that this, first off, this is specific to the Red Cross and specific to the names. This is not acronyms. This is not IGOs. This is, we tried to, I think, very, very deliberately tried to extract this very narrow slice of that problem into its own motion. The second thing, and this came up quite a bit both in the run-up to the discussions in Copenhagen and since then, is that the council has always had the ability to restart or revisit or amend under Section 16 of a PDP. We were uncomfortable, both the chairs and I think, you know, as the broader council, were uncomfortable just doing that absent any action on the part of the board. And so we had those discussions in Copenhagen, but I think what the resulting action was is that we wanted the board to ask us to do something that we could have done at any time to avoid creating precedent of this sort of this new phase of a PDP life cycle where you lobby the council to reopen the recommendations. And we didn't want to create that. We didn't want to establish that or let that become the new normal. And so we were essentially asking the board to give us some direction so that we could go back and invoke our own process. And you raise an excellent point about, you know, this has been now since 2013. We're about 4+ years on since this PDP was concluded. Thomas Rickert, fortunately, is still hanging around ICANN. He was the chair of this. He has verbally, I don't know if he's signed it in blood or anything, but he's verbally agreed to step back in and try to get the band back together and reconstitute this PDP working group and revisit these. I don't know that we can predict what level of success he will have in getting those old members back together, but I know that some of them are still around. I think Phil might have been involved as well. So that's kind of the context of where we arrived here. This is something that we could have done. In fact, I think, you know, it's fair to say, and it's no secret that we were being asked to do so at some point in the intervening 4 years, but we were uncomfortable just kind of launching into this amendment process without some indication from the board that they wanted us to do that. So I don't know if that addresses all of your questions, but I think that is at least an effort to fill in some of those gaps there and provide some background. Donna, you wanted to speak on this? Go ahead.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. I just wanted to make the point also that, you know, the facilitated discussion was also in response to some of the reluctance that the council had to make any decision absent some input from the board as well. So the facilitated discussion was a suggestion that came from Bruce when he was on the board in Hyderabad. We could have not agreed to go forward with that discussion, but we did. We did it in good faith. We think it was a useful exercise in reaching a better understanding of the two sides of the problem. And I think, you know, as a result of that discussion, this resolution reflects to some extent what was agreed during that conversation. So I think, you know, the facilitated discussion needs to be taken into consideration when we think about this as well, because it was something that was suggested by the board in response to some of our pushback that we weren't prepared to do anything unless you know, independent of any action being taken by somebody else. So I think, you know, the GAC and the Red Cross have come to the table, as we did as representatives of the council in good faith, and this is what we have on the table in front of us is an outcome of that. So I just wanted to make that point, James, that I think we shouldn't lose sight of that as part of the process that we've entered into as well to try to get this off the table. I mean, it has been hanging around for a long time, and I think if we can move this along, I think it would be really helpful. And just note that this resolution is just another step in the process. We haven't agreed to anything yet. We still need to take this out to public comment, and hopefully we can reconvene the PDP working group to get their input on this as well. So this is just really another step in the process. We're not agreeing to do anything at this point in time. We're just going through a process. Thanks, James.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. And to your last point, I think that's an important factor, is that one of our statements to or commitments in those facilitated discussions is that we would reopen the discussion, but there were no guarantees that we wouldn't come back, or that the working group wouldn't come back with exactly the same answer that it originally arrived at in 2013. That was a possibility, and I think we set that expectation that a reconsideration is just that, and not necessarily a guarantee of a different outcome. And just a note that that we did try to slice and dice this one by taking out the question of acronyms, by taking out the question of IGOs and INGOs. That's the subject of a ongoing PDP that is chaired by Phil, and I think, as Paul noted, something he is very close to. So it is something that we have tried to steer clear of and not have the council tinkering around under the hood of a PDP that's currently driving down the road. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks, Paul McGrady again. So one clarifying question, and then just a word of caution, I guess, which is the clarifying question is this would relate only to reserve names. It doesn't have any effect beyond reserve names. Is that correct? Am I understanding it?
So my understanding of your question is that the list of names that was identified here in the motions would go into the base registry agreement. They're currently reserved now on a temporary reserve, and that would, at least for this subset of names, would then go on to a permanent reserve.
Okay. And so we're essentially what we're talking about, if it comes back and there's, you know, positive public comment to do this, we're talking about making permanent reserve names list, but we're not otherwise granting, you know, any other special treatment to these terms. Am I understanding it? I mean, I hate to, you know, I just want to make sure that I understand it. Is that the deal?
I think that's correct. I may have to flag Mary here. I think that we have a very large list of names that are currently on temporary reserve from the board. We're talking about moving a subset of those names into, potentially, we're asking the working group to consider moving some of those names into this from a temporary to a permanently reserved status. And I think the result of that is because the discussions, the facilitated discussions from those folks in the Red Cross at least gave us some indication that those names were special when compared to the other names that were reserved temporarily and probably deserved a second look, and we needed to extract those from the PDP. So I think that's, I don't know if I'm answering your question or I'm making it worse, but that's kind of what we're talking about here. There's a giant list of temporarily reserved names, and we're looking at a slice of it that probably warrants some special attention, and it's not a case where we're granting them special privileges. I think that they are kind of their own unique animal. Mary, I don't know if I saw your hand go up. Maybe you can.
Hi, James, and everyone. This is Mary. Yeah. Actually, I put my hand down because you explained it, and I think as Rubens also noted in the chat, there is a list of temporarily reserved names. The final list, if this proposal is approved, isn't necessarily going to be the same list. As you noted, there were certain discussions at the facilitated dialogue about it. So our expectation is that as part of the consultation with the group, the original group, and as part of the public comment period going into the council vote, there will be a definitive list by the time you come to vote on that particular list.
Thanks, Mary. Paul?
And so then I guess my follow-up comment to all this is, you know, again, everybody knows this, but whether it's the Red Cross issue today, which, you know, on its face seems pretty harmless, or some other issue tomorrow, we are setting the precedent, like it or not, that whenever we bump up against GAC advice that doesn't like the outcome of a PDP, that the easiest course for the water to flow is for the GENISO Council to reopen things, right? And so I guess if we're going to vote for this, we should all just remember the day when we sort of, you know, took the first step towards developing policy together as a community, sending it up to the board, and if the GAC doesn't like it, you know, essentially ensuring that we can that we'll see it again. I'm really sort of frustrated that the Red Cross is such a worthy call, right? And that getting this particular thing behind us is such a, you know, seems like such a worthwhile thing to do. I wish the particular thing we were talking about were not as worthy. But at the same time, I guess I just don't want the moment to pass that this is, you know, this is going to be how it's going to be in the future. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. And I note that some folks in the chat are echoing your concern. And just personally, I agree with you. My thinking here, and I don't want to spill the beans, but is that I think that our treatment of the Red Cross names, if we take a closer look at not only the language of the whereas clauses, but also the way that the facilitated discussions occurred, was that we can construct a narrow box that only they can fit in, and that other factors or other also worthy organizations, but that don't have the same treatment under international law, would not be able to kind of jump over those hurdles or climb that mountain and achieve the same level of status. But I hear you. It is concerning that that this issue, you know, in effect, I think the board has exercised, if I can editorialize here for a second, I think the board has exercised a pocket veto really for the last 4 years by putting these on a temporary hold and then not taking any further action on them, I think has really exacerbated this issue. So, but I appreciate your comments and join them to a large extent. So, any other folks interested in speaking to this? Kelly?
Thanks, James. Okay, for the record. This seems to be one of these topics that just has been on the for what seems to be like forever. So if this is a way forward and we can move forward with it, then I think we should. I am a bit worried about what kind of precedent this might set. But if there is a narrow list of names and that is not expanded beyond, then I guess we can.
Thanks, Michele. Were you finished or were you cut off? This ended kind of abruptly there. Okay. He's indicating he's finished. And just a note to Paul and to McKelly and others that, you know, this is going to go back to a PDP for consideration. There will be a public comment. I think this is not the end, but this is just a reopening of the conversation. And I think all of those comments are and those concerns are fodder for that work as well. Susan, go ahead.
So I agree with McKaylee and Paul's thoughts on this, but also think that, you know, we sort of need to move on with this. And but I don't want it to set a precedent. And so I'm wondering, would it be appropriate to add some sort of editorial comment that, you know, this was an extraordinary situation and the council, although uncomfortable, will move forward, but this is not creating a new process? Or, you know, I'm not sure what we could add, but if we made it very clear that this situation should not occur very often or ever again, maybe. So that's just a thought.
Thanks, Susan. And I see that Paul and Donna are agreeing with you. I think we tried to do that a little bit in whereas clause, the one that has the enumerated factors there where we talk about, you know, hey, this is kind of a one-off, it's a special situation. These organizations have a very specific status. They are unique, they are limited, there are no other legitimate uses for these names, you know, and I think we try to be as narrow as possible. If you don't think we did it, you know, if we didn't draw that box cleanly enough, we can certainly revisit that. And I think that, you know, if we're going to, you know, it's something we can take a look at. Donna and then Heather, go ahead.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. With regard to Susan's suggestion, I'm not really sure that there is anything in the whereas that addresses the issue of we don't want this to become a precedent, because I think the motion specifically relates to the Red Cross, Red Crescent issues, but it doesn't address the potential precedent that we're talking about here of the board directing the council to do something in order to appease the GAC. So I think that's, I don't want to speak for Susan, but perhaps that's the language we're looking for, not something that specifically is about the Red Cross, Red Crescent issue, but more to the way that this has come about and that we don't want to feel like the policy is being undermined by GAC advice coming in after the fact. So I think perhaps it's more something like that. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Donna. And I think Paul is also putting some additional language in the chat. And I think we're open to amending this if we can get that, you know, reinforced in a way that makes councillors comfortable. Heather, go ahead.
Thanks, James. Heather Forrest. I wonder if we might do a little bit of tweaking in the enumerated clause number 5. I think that was our attempt when we were drafting this motion to make it clear that circumstances had changed since the publication of the PDP Working Group's final report. Specifically, I guess what I noted from the facilitated dialogue in Copenhagen was that specific list of 190 names apparently wasn't available to the PDP Working Group. The PDP Working Group was, I think, working to some sort of view that it was any and all names and it could be infinite and so on and so forth, picking up some of the comments in the chat, and that provision of that finite list, which we understood in the facilitated dialogue still had some cleanup needed for it, was a new factor that then if you like, empowered us or gave us a reason to reopen this thing. I think that's the key point here, is that we're not doing this because we're told to do it so much. We're doing it because we had a reason to do it. Whether we like the timing of the provision of that finite list is another matter. But I wonder if we could do some doctoring then to enumerated clause 5 to make that a bit more clear and put this in its own special box, as well as justify our actions. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Heather. And so just, you know, and I don't want to speak for Rubens and Michaeli who seconded this, but I'm open to any and all edits that that would capture that, both the comments you made and I think statements from Paul and Susan and Donna that are and some of the chat. I just want to note just a couple of things. One is that we do have this process, and I don't want us to inadvertently, you know, we may wish, or some future council may wish to amend a PDP without any sort of intervention from the board or the GAC, just on its own, and we don't want to constrain those future councils' ability to use their own process. And then the second thing is, we do have another outstanding chunk of work associated with IGO and INGO acronyms that, you know, may potentially follow, or at least some of those may potentially follow a similar path. We don't, I don't know that we want to be so rigid in prescribing what we can and can't do that we, you know, kind of cut off our ability to continue to participate in those things as well. So, pointing out that there are two areas that we would need to steer clear of if we want to amend this language to reinforce the special nature of the Red Cross, Red Crescent names. So, Heather, I don't know if you wanted to respond or if that's an old hand.
Sorry, James, old hand.
Okay, thank you. See, there's some, the chat is progressing, but I'll go next to Michaeli. Go ahead.
Thanks, James, for the record. A couple of things. First off, in relation to the actual language around this, which we're discussing on the chat, I think the fact that the Red Cross and Red Crescent that has it's protected by international treaties, I mean, is probably of some help. Don't want to end up in a situation where we are restricting ourselves and future councils. So, I think there's a balance to be reached there. Secondly, earlier this week, you circulated to the list a marked-up version of the motion, which was had been marked up with some edits by somebody representing the Red Cross, I believe. The motion which we're looking at doesn't reflect any of those suggested changes, does it?
That's correct, Michaeli. That was raised that next.
And that's just because if we're looking at the language and edits and finessing things, it just seemed to be the kind of logical thing would be to potentially discuss some of those changes. And I mean, as chair, I believe you did point out that, you know, some of the changes that they suggested weren't particularly controversial. However, there were a couple of changes that they were suggesting that may overstep the bounds of what one might consider a friendly edit, but I'll back to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Michaeli. And you are correct that there was that we received earlier this week some feedback from folks associated with the Red Cross on this amendment, on this motion. And I think for the most part, those edits were, let's call them, clarifications or more precise language than what we were using. So when we say something like Red Cross, they were saying Red Cross and Red Crescent movements or something like that. So they were editing how we were referring to their organizations, and I think that's fine. However, there were a couple of notes in there that potentially could have expanded the scope of identifiers and names that were covered by the that would be reopened for examination by the PDP. And then there was also, outside of the text of the motion, there was also a proposal that the council consider either as the part of this work or as a part of a separate work item to what are we going to do with the acronyms of the Red Cross? Do we just fold that over to the acronym issue generally that we're dealing with the IGO, INGO issue? Those latter two, I think, were much more problematic than just those edits for precision. And I'm more reluctant to just go ahead and table those as potential discussions. So I see there's some editing going on here, and I'm just kind of trying to follow along here. But I'm trying to find a landing pad for this for today's call. And I think we have two general items in front of us. One is that we need to beef up the the language that notes the extraordinary nature of this work, and we need to go through each of those proposed edits from the Red Cross and determine whether or not those are something that we want to consider or if there's something that we want to table or not. We don't have to accept or reject. They're not coming from a counselor, so it's really just a matter of which ones do we want to table, discuss, propose as fresh, which ones to reject by essentially taking no action. Michele, you're up next. Go ahead.
Thanks, James. Thanks for clarifying. Just from my own personal perspective, I think the accepting edits which provide clarification, as in, for example, when the naming of the organization seems to be perfectly reasonable and helpful, but obviously we don't want to start opening up other cans of worms. I don't think we're going to be able to resolve all this on this call. So can we defer this motion and just work on it in the interim? And if so, how do we do that?
Well, you ask, and I think you just did.
I think that's
kind of where we're going. I note that, So I think that it sounds like we have two basic, challenges that we need to resolve. And one is to make sure that everyone is comfortable with the box that we're drawing around this to ensure that it is a special case, and then also whether or not we want to table or consider those other edits that we received as feedback. So I think that's probably something reasonable. I think I'm sorry. I'm just trying to catch up on the chat here. So if it sounds like I'm stumbling, it's just me trying to multitask here. And I see some folks saying that if we can just fix a couple of these things, maybe we can move this to the list and look at a potential email vote. Donna, go ahead.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. So I was going to suggest, you know, maybe if this is just a few changes to the whereas clauses, that we could perhaps defer the motion, kick this to the list for, on the understanding that we would have an email vote. Because I really don't want to kick this over to the next meeting in May. Some of that is because I want to continue this discussion in good faith. I know we don't want to be held, you know, accountable to the GAC, but we have gone down a certain path to try to resolve this. And I think if we can, if the only thing at issue here is the current whereas clauses, or you know, some of the language in this resolution, if we can kick it to the list and resolve that with the intent of having an email vote, you know, in the next 2 weeks, that might be preferable to kicking it to the next meeting, which is a month away. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. And I just want to remind folks one of the reasons why we decided to tackle the Red Cross stuff first is because this is a point that's been receiving a lot of attention lately. And if we can get this one in the rearview mirror, I think it dials down a lot of the pressure on this particular issue generally, because these are, as I think someone mentioned earlier, these are noble organizations. They do good work, and they have a very specific status in international laws and treaties, and we're trying to be aware of that. So it sounds like and I'm just looking through the chat here, it sounds like there is kind of a sentiment brewing here for a perhaps moving this to the list and moving this to an email vote. McKelly, go ahead.
McKelly, in that case, I think I need to formally withdraw my request for a deferral. I'm happy to deal with this via the list and a vote that way or whatever works. I just didn't think we were going to get it resolved today.
Thanks, McKelly. Actually, I think your deferral still works because it doesn't necessarily defer it to the May meeting. It just defers it to further conversations on the list. And if we want to kick off an electronic ballot, we can do that on the basis of your deferral. So I think we can do that. That's just a process thing. We'll get that worked out. Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like we have a couple of open questions relative to this. And I also want to point out that this is going to be referred back to Thomas Rickert and whoever's Coalition of the Willing previous working group members. So they may also have some thoughts, some comments associated with their recommendations, whatever comes out of that on the unique nature of these names and these organizations. So either through their own work or in reflection of public comment. So I think we can continue to shore up that sentiment so that this is not a doesn't become a well-worn path for future PDPs. So with that being withdrawn, if there are no other comments and the queue is clear, we can move to a slightly, hopefully less contentious item, which is item number 6. Just a time check here, we've got about 40 minutes left in our call and about 4 other agenda items to be as expeditious as possible. Item number 6 is another motion up for a vote on GNSO Council comments on proposed ICANN budget for fiscal year 2018. We discussed this in Copenhagen. I put together a draft comment based on some conversations that were occurring previously with councils and some of the analysis that was conducted by staff. And this is certainly not meant to supersede or collide with or conflict with any comments that might have been submitted by SGs and Cs. It's meant to augment that from the council level. So first off, I think, do we have a second for this motion? Can we even talk about this yet? No staff, can you give me some indication? Okay, we need a second. McKelly, go ahead. Are you seconding? Okay, thanks. Great. Okay, I'll just read the resolve clauses. It's pretty straightforward. GNSO Council approves the fiscal 18 draft budget comments prepared on behalf of the GNSO Council and instructs ICANN staff to formally submit the approved comments to public comment forum. And 2, the GNSO Council thanks the volunteers who prepared the comments and ICANN staff who provided invaluable assistance to the volunteers drafting the comments. So, pretty simple motion. And thank you, McKelly and Donna, for seconding this. Now, if we can go back to the language of the comment itself. And I'll just hit a couple of the highlights here. I hope that folks have had an opportunity to read the comments. They've been out, I know, for last week and this week. But there are just a couple of highlights that I'd like to draw your attention to. One, noting that these are coming from the council and not meant to, and are meant to just kind of reinforce what any comments that are coming from the SGs and Cs. The first one is that a continuing comment from our sentiments on the draft of fiscal 2017 operating plan and budget that we'd like a greater degree of transparency about how comments are reviewed, how they are decided, adopted, and how ICANN is responding to those folks who are submitting comments and their amendments to the draft budget as they prepare a final budget. And I think that we note something here about consider publishing a detailed analysis of comments received along with the rationale, particularly for those that are not incorporated into the final budget. Next one is noting that, again, that the comments themselves could be, and we refer to a few pages here, but I think this is the one where we would want to have the comments or the budgets categorized by portfolio as opposed to by function. And I think that would be helpful in the analysis of these budgets going forward. Finally, we just note again that the GNSO policy development seems to have, in terms of headcount and growth, seems to have a lower priority compared to other activities, and we just reemphasize that setting the policy and technical coordination for the DNS is a core function of ICANN's mission and bylaws, and everything else is supportive of that mission. And we want to see that reflected in the budget. And then we have some more comments regarding global engagement. What's included there? Is it being commingled with meeting expenses? And there was also finally a note about transaction fees. There's some projected scenarios for transaction fees. We want to ensure that ICANN is working closely with the GNSO, particularly GTLD registries, to ensure that there is agreement and support for those assumptions. I think in particular, the low estimate was still fairly aggressive in terms of growth and what I think is generally understood to be an industry growth level. So that is the comment. Hopefully it's not a shock and everyone's had a chance to look through this and would like to open this up for discussion. For anyone that has any concerns, or if you feel that, for example, we're missing something is omitted, or something is running counter to a comment or a sentiment coming out of the your stakeholder group, please raise that. And then I just also question for staff, when is the cutoff for comments on this? I thought it was the 26th. Do I have that right? Comments on this close on the 26th. Something like that. The comments are closing probably close to the end of this month, so we do need to get this turned in. So that's the draft as it stands. Any other thoughts, comments, edits? Marika's checking on the date. She's saying maybe the 29th. Rafiq, go ahead.
Okay. Hello. Sorry, there is some noise behind me. Just asking here why we are making specific comments about a global engagement. Just we'll try to understand here from why we kind of we have concerns from the GNSO Council standpoint. I may understand that different stakeholder groups or constituencies, they have their own position or view about the global engagement, but why we are putting that on our comments. Just trying to asking here for more clarification.
Thanks, Rafiq. I think the comment here about global engagement is that that in terms of the dollars spent and the headcount of employees, that continues to grow, or let's say the growth is outpacing some of the other areas of ICANN, the organization. And it's a question of, because I think in many parts of the budget it is commingled with meeting expenses, meeting and travel expenses, is asking staff to provide some greater details demonstrating A, you know, what is the measure of engagement? How do you measure that those dollars and those employees are actually working, you know, working to achieve those goals? And then B, you know, is there a way to separate those out so that we can view those separately? So that's the thinking behind the engagement. And I note that we've had even some, let's just say, some stronger comments coming from, and I think you alluded to this as well, from other parts of the GNSO. And I tried to tone those down while still capturing just the general question of the nature of global engagement, and particular in light of its growth. Michele, you're next.
Yeah, thanks, James. So just on this particular point, it's this kind of thing where the spend increases, but there's no transparency on the KPIs and everything is something that we're right to question. I mean, as is noted elsewhere in the comment, the expenditure and budgeting around what would be considered a core function, namely policy development, doesn't seem to be growing. However, the expenditure in areas such as this global engagement, which doesn't seem to have any real metrics or KPIs attached to it, continues to grow. So I think it's perfectly logical that we would question it.
Thanks, Michele. And I think the comment, just to be clear, is not questioning the need for global engagement. It's just questioning how it is measured versus the growth in its resource allocation. So, you know, if it's important in terms of, you know, its mission, can you show us how adding these people and adding these dollars is going to further that mission? And I think that's to your point about its transparency. Rafiq, go ahead.
Thanks, James. I do agree with the comment about that for GNSO, we need to get more support and resources allocated for the policy development. I do support that. But I think we put them a kind of an opposition that while you are spending that on global engagement but not giving enough in for policy development, I don't think that kind of constructive way to do so. And I have a concern is that in other sides within the community, they are seeing that like the GNSO are not doing enough work to outreach, to try to engage more. I know that we are trying to do our best, and each stakeholder group and constituency, they have their own plan and initiative, but there is some perception, and I think this, well, how we are putting the comments regarding the global engagement can kind of only kind of support that perception. So just I'm wondering how we can maybe put it in a more positive way. I understand that it's more about transparency and asking about expected outcome of those expenses with regards to global engagement. So just to avoid any, just to avoid the put like policy development versus global engagement and how the channels will perceive that.
Thanks, Rafiq. So just so I'm clear, are you proposing alternative language to the second to last bullet point, or are you proposing that it's being merged? I guess I'm not 100% clear on what you're proposing. I think that there is, unless I've misunderstood the conversation, that there is some some general support for the idea that that ICANN needs to be a little clearer about what global engagement is expected to result in and how its growth and resources will drive it towards that. I don't know if you're suggesting we change that or remove it, or I guess I'm not clear where we're going with this here. Are you objecting to it and its inclusion entirely?
Hi, James.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we should remove it or whatever, just kind of trying to raise here a concern and how that may be perceived. And just, I think I wanted to share that with others and that we have really thought about. I said again that I understand that we want more metrics, KPI and so on, to get it kind of maybe more structured in the way that we can evaluate the impact of such inputs. But I try to explain that, you know, such comments how can be perceived, maybe just kind of reinforce what others think about the genetic strength with the engagement.
Sorry, Rafiq, I'm sorry, you're getting very, very faint here, and I'm not able to hear you anymore. I can tell that you're still speaking, but I just can't make out what you're saying. You could start again, please.
Okay. So what I was saying is that I'm not asking for removing or amendment, but just I wanted to share this concern with other councillors because I think there is some, I mean, as I said, there is some perception within the community about how Genesis stands with the engagement and so on. Just I wanted to share that and to have that in mind, but I was not asking for any amendments of the comment.
Okay, thank you, Rafiq. If I understood you correctly, you're saying that you're not proposing any change to the comment, but you want the councillors to consider that there is a broader perception that the GNSO, I don't know what the right word views global engagement as a rival for these types of resources, and we want to make sure that our comment is not perceived as oppositional to that. Is that... did I capture that correctly?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, thanks. Well, fair enough. I did give it a shot. We have Michele. Go ahead.
Thanks, James. I mean, just on Rafiq's point there, okay, fine, I can understand that that might be something that somebody may perceive, but if you actually look at the way the comment is drafted, the two things are not directly linked. ICANN handles a very large and growing budget. Post-IANA transition, it is even more important that ICANN does a good job of a steward of that budget. So it is not unreasonable for us to question the metrics and the KPIs that are linked to expenditure, especially when you're talking about such large sums of money. But the wording of that we're looking at here is quite gentle. I don't think it's particularly hardcore. I mean, it could have been, as James said, I mean, it could have been a lot rougher. And I think it's perfectly right to question some of these things. Now, I mean, ultimately, the answer from ICANN could be, in some cases, you know, they have difficulty measuring some of these things, and that's fine. Or is it? But I mean, it's something where you need to have a greater degree of transparency. I don't think it's wrong for us to actually look for that. Thanks.
Thanks, Michele. And I don't think that I heard you were proposing any amendments to the language of the comment either. Is that correct?
Understood. Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Stephanie, you're up next.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I don't want to slow this down at all, but I was wondering if a simple flipping of the order of the paragraph might actually respond to Rafiq's concern. I think we don't want to give the impression that we don't believe in global engagement, that we are penny pinchers. Personally, I think that global engagement brings new costs, and in particular, it brings policy and translation costs. But that's a whole other topic, and I'm not suggesting that. But if we just flip the order and put the policy concern paragraph, which is currently at the top of the page, behind the growth in resources for global engagement, I think it might help. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. So just to note, your proposal is to move the second bullet point which is regarding the, or I'm sorry, the third bullet point and the fourth bullet point. You want us to swap those two?
Exactly. Put projected growth in resources allocated for global engagement at the top of the page there, and put the a lower priority on policy development underneath it. Then it kind of follows a more logical order. And right now, it looks like we're whining about no money for peace, and then we say, oh, yeah, and they got tons of money, and we don't agree with that. I think it does help diffuse it a little bit. Other than that, I think the wording is, as Michele said, it's not bad, and Rafiq wasn't proposing a change in worrying.
Thank you, Stephanie, and I note that Rafiq and Martin and Michele are also fine with that, and Donna as well. And I'm fine with that as well. If I'm understanding you, we would swap the positions of bullet points 3 and 4, and they're not numbered. I'm just kind of noting here that they're on the second page of the on page 2. There are 3 bullet points. We would swap the first 2. And it looks like, okay, and Darcy and Donna are agreeing. So let's make that change. And I think, okay, this is going away. We have 20 minutes left in our call. We have this item and one other vote that needs to occur today as well. So now that we're all kind of plus wanting that change, thank you very much for that suggestion, Stephanie, that addresses Rafiq's concerns. And here is the new draft, which I would point out just does exactly that, swaps those 2 bullet points. I note that the queue is clear and that the chat seems to indicate that we have, that Stephanie has very artfully gotten us past this particular sticking point. If there are no other concerns, I'd like to move this motion that we adopt this comment to a vote. And here's the motion again. No concerns there. So, Natalie, if you don't mind, can we move to a vote by acclamation, please?
Of course, James. Would anyone like to abstain from this motion? Please say your name. Hearing no one. Would anyone like to vote against this motion? Hearing none, would all those in favor of the motion please say aye?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Moving on to the proxies now. Would Don Austin for Valerie Tan please express your vote?
Aye.
Susan Caragucci for Phil Corwin?
Aye.
Lily Maciel for Ed Morris?
Aye.
Stephanie Perrin for Rafiq Damak?
Aye.
Rubens Kuhl for Keith Dravik?
Aye.
No abstention, no objection, James. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie, and thank you, counselors, particularly Stephanie, for proposing that edit that addressed those concerns and change the tone a little bit to something a little more productive, constructive. So, okay, then moving on to item number 7, and just being mindful of the time, we have a motion to adopt the GNSO nominees for the Registration Directory Services Review Team, that's RDS Review Team, and you will note that this is first time out for our new shiny new Standing Selection Committee. So first off, thanks to that group. The motion was raised by Yulf and needs a second. I will go ahead and second that so that we can get this on discussion, as well as Michele. So Michele's seconding everything today. Thank you, Johnny, on the spot. Yulf, if you have a solid connection, if you could read us the motion, the resolve clauses. Otherwise, I'm happy to do so on your behalf if you if you'd rather.
Actually, it might be better if you read it out because my connection can be a bit iffy.
No problem, Yulf. Happy to do so. Resolved, 1, the GNSO Council nominates, ranked in order, Susan Kawaguchi, Erica Mann, Stephanie Perrin, and Volker Greiman as its primary 4 candidates for the RDS review team. Furthermore, the GNSO Council nominates in ranked order Mark Anderson, Stefania Milan, and Timothy Chen to be considered for inclusion in the RDS review team by the SOAC chair should additional places become available. Two, the GNSO Council expects the GNSO chair to communicate to the SOAC chairs the importance of considering the four candidates as primary as well as respecting the ranking of the additional candidates in the discussion with the other SO and AC chairs concerning potential additions to the RDS review team, unless for reasons of diversity of skills it becomes necessary to deviate from the indicated ranking. In such a case, the GNSO chair is expected to communicate the rationale for such a deviation back to the GNSO Council. Three, the GNSO Council instructs the GNSO Secretariat to communicate resolved one to the staff supporting RDS review team. Four, the GNSO Council instructs the GNSO Secretariat to inform the applicants that have received endorsement to the GNSO Council expects that, if selected for RDS review team, the applicant will represent the views of the entire GNSO community in their work on the RDS review team and provide regular feedback as a group on the discussions taking place in the RDS review team, as well as positions being taken by GNSO review team members. And five, the GNSO Council requests staff supporting the RDS review team and application process to send a response to those applicants who did not receive endorsement, if any, thanking them for their interest. The response should also encourage them to follow the work of the RDSRT and participate in public comments and community discussions. That is the motion, and certainly open a discussion on this point here, but just want to note thanks to all of the folks who volunteered and also participated on the standing selection committee. So first up is Heather. Go ahead.
Thanks, James, very much. And sincere thanks to our standing selection committee, given that this is their first effort. I just wanted to make a note of really a point of procedure for that committee going forward. I don't think it was really all that wise to put forward a motion that seems that it was really more a draft motion in that first version, albeit that it named names. I think that was probably not optimal for all of the candidates who went for those roles, and anyone who saw that initial motion and are now seeing the revised motion might be a bit confused. So, you know, I think this is a situation that could come up in the future for that group, and to the extent that we can avoid putting forward a straw man or a draft motion and presenting it as if it were a finalized motion, I think that would be helpful. Thanks.
Thanks, Heather. I think that's an important consideration. I think we should definitely communicate that back to the SEC, not necessarily formally or as part of this motion, but just as a note going forward. So it's a good point there. Thank you. Yulf, you're up next.
Yes, it's Yulf for the record. Just wanted to respond to that. You definitely noted, but in this case, we actually thought we had a final version of it. It turned out that there was then some issues that turned up after the deadline. That's why we actually went through this soft, rather weird motion.
Thanks, Yulf. Fair enough. And point taken on that as well. I've got McKelly, and then I want to go ahead and put myself in the queue as well. Go ahead, McKelly.
Thanks, James. McKelly for the record. I think, you know, some of the points other people have made around this are, while they're valid, I think maybe in some respects we're being a bit too hard on both ourselves and on this particular group. This is the first time that they've ever had to do anything. You know, like any process, it's you know, you don't really get to see how well it works until you actually start doing it. So the fact that there might be some teething problems and what have you is to be expected. And so it's more a case of how you deal with those issues rather than the fact that those issues arise themselves that we should be looking at. Thanks.
Thanks, McKelly. And I think, you know, your point about this being sort of a shakedown cruise of the SSC is probably one taken. Paul, go ahead.
Paul McGrady, not to change gears too quickly, but I would like to propose a few tweaks to paragraph 5 just to make it a little bit more friendly, to make it clear that the way that I read it, it sort of felt weird to say that they did not receive endorsement because that sounded kind of final, like they might never ever. And so I made a little proposed change there and then tacked on an additional thing at the end, encouraging them to apply for future opportunities within the GeneCell community as they arise, so that the people who weren't picked don't feel like they weren't picked, they'll never get picked, and they ought not try again in the future. So hopefully this is considered friendly. If it's not considered friendly, then I might withdraw it just so we can get this thing done. But it looks real nice. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul, and I'm sure that was not the intention to discourage future applications or to, you know, speak with any degree of finality on these candidates. As a seconder, I certainly would take that as a friendly change. I guess I would just look to Yulf and in the chat, he has also accepted that. So good catch, and I think that certainly doesn't give any unintended finality to that statement. Yes, and everyone's noting that it makes it much better. In fact, I would ask that maybe we capture that for future SSC motions so that we include that going forward. Okay, and Michele's also agreeing to it, so good add, Paul. The queue is clear. I had myself in here just to note that, for the folks here that are with regard to Resolve 2, I fully instructions received, acknowledged and received, and I will do my utmost to make sure that we get our four primary candidates. Last time around, the last review team, the SOs and ACs were not really there wasn't a consensus to accept anyone from the list of alternates. I think in this particular case, the GNSO occupies a very unique position when it comes to RDS policy, and I will communicate that to this group and emphasize that we really need to ensure that that we have four rather than three primary candidates. So I will take that as a directive from the council, and I will do my utmost to make sure that that is indeed the case, given the importance of the GNSO in this matter. So, okay. Any other comments, or we can move this motion to a vote? Looks like everyone is fine. Okay, Natalie, if you would do the honors, please.
Thank you, James. Would anyone like to abstain from this motion? Please say your name. Hearing no one, would anyone like to vote against this motion? Hearing none, would all those in favor of the motion please say aye?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much. Would all five proxies now say aye?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much. With no abstention, no objection, the motion passes. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you, counselors, especially to the SSC, and we will proceed in notifying the those who were endorsed once I've had the opportunity to meet with all the other SOs and ACs and get our folks included on that review team. Okay, next up is item number 8. We have 8 minutes left. We have item 8, which is a discussion of the charter, the updated charter for Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance. We also have a discussion for planning for ICANN 59 in Johannesburg, which we do have some discussions that we need to get in front of the council. So I would beg your patience as we work through these last two items here. The first one is the updated charter for CCWGIG. I don't know if we have anyone from the CCWGIG that would like to speak to this charter, but if you'll recall, at the meeting in Hyderabad, we asked this group to please come back with some proposals by Copenhagen to how the structure of this particular work effort would fit within the CCWG. which now that we have these specific guidelines for cross-community working groups, we wanted to ensure that this work conformed to those guidelines, or alternatively propose different structures and a transition plan to moving from a CCWG to whatever new structure or successor format was being used. In Copenhagen, we were given this this charter, this revised charter, and I'll be honest, I have skimmed it. I have not put it under a microscope, so I really don't know that I'm qualified to speak to it or defend it, but I'm hoping that if anyone else would like to review it, they could certainly certainly take a stab at that, be my guest. But I'd like to put this on the table for discussion, and certainly if anyone has any questions, or if anyone has any proposals for next steps. Donna?
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. I guess just a few observations. So we had some discussion about this on a registry stakeholder group call yesterday, and I think reservations have been raised previously about whether this is a CCWG or not, or whether this could be, whether another vehicle could be used for this group, like a, you know, whether it become a discussion group or something like that. So I think I'd like to understand whether consideration has been given about whether something besides a CCWG is available to this group, but also just some general questions about the goals and objectives of this group. You know, one of the goals is to increase awareness about relevant internet governance and policy issues in the ICANN community. That is a really, really broad statement. And I, tongue-in-cheek, I would say that that's something you could almost have its own CCWG on, in trying to understand what is relevant internet governance and policy issues in the ICANN community when you're talking about internet governance. So that is, you know, really broad. And I think there will be some benefit in trying to skinny that down so that the rest of the community actually understands what that means, because internet governance covers so many things. But I think certainly within the registry stakeholder group, we have some concerns that there's a lot of mission creep associated with internet governance, and we sometimes question whether things that are being discussed within ICANN under that banner actually should be, are within ICANN's mission, or whether it should be sitting somewhere else. So have some real concerns about, you know, that goal in the first instance, that I think it would have some value in defining what you mean by relevant internet governance and policy issues for this CCWG. Also, enhanced cooperation between the CCWG and the ICANN government engagement. Is that government engagement or is that global engagement? So I noticed that global government engagement is what's used, but I thought it was global engagement. So that's at a very high level, that, you know, has some other mechanism been looked at for this group? And also, it would be really helpful if you could define what internet governance and policy issues are relevant to this group. I understand that this is really important, that the political environment that ICANN works in is, you know, very sensitive, and it has been for a number of years before transition, after transition. But to define that scope about what internet governance and policy issues this group intends to be looking at, I think would be really helpful. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. And just a note that I have Rafiq in the queue. Paul had his hand, but I think he lowered it and just gave a plus one to your comments. And then I want to close the queue because we are running out of time, and we do have one more item on our agenda. So next up is Rafiq. Go ahead, Rafiq.
Okay, thanks. I guess I can speak here as the co-chair of the Cross Community Working Group. Okay, thanks, Donna, for the comments. I think as a working group, we can take all the questions I mean, because unfortunately there was no discussion from the council in the mailing list, so this is kind of the first really time to hear those concerns. For the first question, based on the motion, the motion from Hyderabad give us kind of two options, either to amend the charter and or explore other structures. So we focus it first on the charter amendment. So this, if it can respond to the first question. With regard to clarifying the goals regarding internet governance, we can probably work on that, and I can come back to the working group and we can clarify if it's, there is a concern about the mission creep. And for the government engagement, ICANN is involved on internet governance spaces through the team under Tarak Kamal, which is a global engagement, and I think it's within the, not a government engagement, which is within the global engagement. So that's the team that engaging with intergovernmental organization and so on, and that's who, those are the folks involved in all internet governance space representing ICANN as an organization. So if people have any questions, or it will be helpful to list all of them, and I can come back to the working group and try to respond to those concerns.
Thank you, Rafiq, and thank you for agreeing to do that. Just noting that we are at the top of the hour and we're at the bottom of the queue for this particular topic, what I'd like to suggest is that we've had this document now on the list since Copenhagen, but I note that we haven't really spent a lot of time discussing it. I think what I'd like to see is a discussion of these topics on the list, as well as a list of questions perhaps that can be taken back by Rafiq and others who are participating in the CCWG. And that we can roll that up into either a more substantive discussion for our meeting in May, or even a motion to adopt a revised charter, or to propose other paths forward. So that should be our goal for our next meeting, if we could take this to the list. I'm sorry, I'm hearing some background noise there, but I think that's how we can proceed on this one. And certainly if others have alternative ideas on how to go forward, we should raise those on the list as well. Okay, then moving to our final item number 9, which is planning for ICANN 15. The good news is that we're a little bit further along than for the last previous meetings, thanks to an early start, and certainly thank you to Donna and staff and all the folks who've been working very hard on this. The bad news is as you can imagine, that we're still running into a number of the same issues when we start to stitch this together with the other SOs and ACs, that we start to run into conflicts, and trying to resolve all those conflicts is a never-ending challenge as part of building this schedule. And I think I have a whole new appreciation for that as a result of this. So, and noting we're losing some of our counselors because we've hit the top of the hour. So thanks all. I don't know if Donna on the spot, or if we have someone from staff who can just give us a brief overview of what we're looking at as far as this being the overall calendar, and then how the GNSO calendar fits into this framework. But as you can see, we are following much of the same script that was developed for the first policy forum last summer in Helsinki. You can see that we have identified some GNSO subjects, some subject work, which is an area of focus on Monday, the 26th of June. We also have allocated PDP, face-to-face PDP meetings on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then we've also noted that there are some PDP and GNSO-related work flagged for these cross-community discussion topics, what used to be called high-interest topics, which are occurring in the afternoon of each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. In particular, you see the one there for geographic names and the RDS as well. So this is the, you know, this is the lay of the land as it sits today. You can see that we're trying to steer this around some of the other activities that are ongoing throughout the community, and there's some comments associated with a lot of those sessions as well. Did I butcher that sufficiently, Donna, or would you like to have anything to add? And certainly some of the folks on the staff have been working on this as well.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin, so I think you've covered it pretty well. I think Terry, well, I know that Terry Agnew has sent around requests to the respective SGs and Cs for individual meeting requests, and I think the intent is for the GNSO leadership to adopt the same practice that we did for Helsinki in reviewing those. You know, our preference is that we don't have sessions against the cross-community discussion groups, and to the extent that we can limit, you know, big chunks of time being against the PDP working groups, I think that would send a good message as well. But we understand that, you know, that's going to happen because groups will want to meet. So we're doing the best that we can to maintain the integrity that this is a policy forum. And to the extent that you can take that message back to your groups, it would be appreciated. I think, you know, just in terms of what you've seen on the screen at the moment, I think the GAC has requested that we move something from one of the cross-community discussions from Wednesday because they want to be part of that, and the GAC does its communique on Wednesday. So, you know, that's a Wednesday afternoon, so that's a conflict for any cross-community discussion. So still some inflexibility from some of the groups, but, you know, we're pushing very hard to maintain the integrity. This is a policy forum. That's all I've got. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. And I just want to point out that having Donna, who is an alumni from the Meeting Strategy Working Group, to continue to reinforce the message that this is a policy forum has been very helpful in these discussions. I think the challenge, you know, in addition to working within a shorter time format, is also that, you know, just honoring the requests or fulfilling the request that something be unconflicted, I think that is a real challenge. Because I think, as you might imagine, there's a lot of differing expectations on what, you know, what sort of a topic should be unconflicted and versus which ones can happen concurrently. So any questions or thoughts? This is an iterative process. As Donna mentioned, we're getting closer to something that is considered a near final draft, but I don't think we're quite there yet. So if there's any other questions or concerns, otherwise we would say that your SG and C chairs have been very constructive in this, and we would ask that they continue to work with us to get this hammered out. Okay. All right. So then seeing an empty queue here, I think we're 7 minutes over, and folks are probably wondering if we can just bring this meeting in for a landing. The next agenda item is AOB. Any statements or questions for AOB? Empty queue, I think Marika is noting on this that there's a deadline tomorrow for input on this schedule from SGs and Cs. Is that correct?
This is Marika. No, it actually refers to the block schedule, so specifically the cross-community discussion topics and where these have been located. And my understanding is that following the discussions that took place earlier this week between the SOAC and SGC chairs was produced, but I think, as Don already noted, that the GAC has specifically requested one change. I believe there's also a question on the session on Monday morning, the community forum, where I believe there's also a request to potentially move that to Tuesday. So I think any input that the council may have or any of the respective groups on indeed the topics and where these are located and potentially also the question of what of this is unconflicted, I believe those questions should be in by tomorrow as staff is looking to publish at least the block schedule so people are aware of what is scheduled or planned in principle when.
Okay. Thank you, Marika. Okay. So that was the last bit on agenda item 8. On agenda item 9, we don't have any hands going up for AOB. So we'll, if there are no final comments, we'll move to wrap this meeting up. Okay. Thank you, and thanks for your patience. For those of you who stayed on a little bit past the top of the hour, I think we have a couple of urgent items. If you note that two items that were deferred to our list, which is the communique and the Red Cross motion, we don't want to tackle those in our main meeting. We want to tackle those in the intervening time. So please look for the list and also take a look at that block schedule and take a look at the CCWGIG revised charter. Okay, thank you everyone for your work today. Thanks staff, and we will sign off and keep an eye on the list. Thanks everyone.
Bye.
Thanks all, bye.
Thanks
very much, everybody. This concludes today's call. You may now disconnect your lines, and operator, you may stop the recording. Thank you.